Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're going back again to the book of John, chapter number 19, and we're continuing our study on the sixth saying of the Savior upon the cross. You recall in our study, we went to the book of Luke, chapter number 23, and we looked at verse number 34 at the first saying, where our Lord said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then in Luke chapter 23, verses number 39 through verse number 43, we saw the conversation between the two thieves that were crucified with Christ. And then one of those thieves, with repentance in his heart, turns to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And I want to pause just a moment before I move on and make this statement again. Anytime that any repenting sinner will become willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you'll have the Lord's attention and He will intervene for you as He did that thief on the cross. And then the third saying, we went to John chapter number 19, and in verse number 26 and 27, we found there our Lord addresses His mother and then John the Beloved. And He said to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son." And then He said to John, "Behold thy mother." Then at noon, darkness came over the face of the earth. And for 3 hours, the world was totally engulfed in darkness. Just at the very closing of those 3 hours, our Lord cries out of the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And immediately after He says that, the lights come on. And then immediately after the lights come back on, He utters the last three cries close to each other. The first one, He said, "I thirst." The second, He said, "It is finished." And the third, He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So we've looked at five of the cries. We're looking at the sixth cry on the cross. And I've been calling this the cry of Christ's inspiration. He looked forward to the cross because He could look beyond the cross. You remember the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." And oh, my friend, as we've been looking at the gloom of the cross, we're near the end of it. And our Lord now can see, if I may say it this way, a light at the end of the tunnel. Yes, He still must die, and He must be buried for 3 days and nights and rise again. But He is nearly to the end of His purpose for being here upon the earth. And so I said to you, when our Lord said "it is finished," He was not necessarily speaking of salvation's plan, because He still had to die. The blood still had to be shed and offered. He had to be buried. He had to rise again for the gospel to be completed. And we're not saved just by a dying Savior, but we're saved by the power of a resurrected Lord. Well, if it's not salvation's plan that is finished, What is it? And I mentioned to you four things I want to deal with. We've looked at three of them and began on the fourth one on the broadcast on yesterday. I said to you, first of all, when he said it is finished, he spoke of the consummation of all the prophetic scriptures. As Christ is hanging on the cross, it is as though he's reviewing his life in light with the prophecies of the Word of God. And every scripture that spoke of him has been fulfilled in every detail. There are no more prophecies about him that must be fulfilled up to the point of his dying. And so he looked at the prophetic scriptures and said, it is finished. He had fulfilled all those prophecies. And then number two, not only was it a consummation of all prophetic scriptures, but it was a culmination of all his personal sufferings. And our Lord has suffered much for 33 years here on this earth. He suffered physically, spiritually, emotionally, and in every manner that a person could suffer. But it's about over. He's fixing to leave this world and go back to the Father. And so he looks at his sufferings and he said, it is finished. And then number three, I pointed out to you that he speaks of the completion of a perfect sacrifice. You see, hundreds, yea, even thousands of animals had been offered as a sacrifice unto God. And each of those sacrifices was good and sufficient for the moment. But none of them were good for eternity. You see, the Bible teaches us that it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. No, my friend, it would require the spotless, sinless blood of God himself to take away sins. And so Jesus looks at the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Each of them are incomplete. But now then, here he is as the perfect sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. And I said to you, he's able to do that because, first of all, he's perfect in his being. Second, he can do that because he is perfect in his blood. And thirdly, he could say that because he is perfect in his blessings. There was no lasting blessing in the Old Testament sacrifices. But thank God in Christ, we have eternal blessings. I mentioned to you, there's a blessing of forgiveness. And we compared Old Testament and New Testament. In the Old Testament, we learned that it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. But in the New Testament, we learn in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And then I pointed out to you from Hebrews chapter number 10, in the Old Testament, there was always a remembrance, both by God and man, of the sins of the sinner. Every year, as the Hebrew children came up to the place of Jerusalem to sacrifice the sacrifices to God, they were reminded of their former sins, and God remembered them as well. But then I pointed out to you in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 17 and 18, where the Bible said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So he was a perfect sacrifice because he was a perfect being and he had perfect blood. And we have perfect blessings. And then not only there's a blessing of forgiveness, and there is the blessing of forgetting, but thirdly, there is the blessing of fullness. Listen to this passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through verse number 14. The Bible said, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. Listen, which can never take away sins. That's Old Testament sacrifices. But now then, notice that Holy Ghost conjunction in verse number 12. But the Bible said, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Yes, there is the blessing of forgiveness. There is the blessing that our sins are forgotten. And there is a blessing that our redemption is in fullness because of the perfect sacrifice that Christ was about to become there on the cross as he died. But I want to give you one more thought before I leave the air today. Not only what he said, but I want to address the thought, to whom did he say it? When Christ was hanging on the cross and he said, "It is finished," I wonder who he was speaking to. Let me give you four thoughts for your consideration. I want to say to you, my friend, as Christ hung on that cross and said, "It is finished," I believe, first of all, he looked to the sovereign God and said to God the Father, "It is finished." And oh, that's been his heart's desire. That's been his inspiration all the way through. He said, "I want to finish the work that God sent me to do." And now then, he has finished that. And he looks to the Father and says, "It is finished." And then number two, I believe he looked at the Old Testament saints that were down in paradise waiting for their redemption with a perfect sacrifice to be offered. And he looks down to those in the paradise of God, which was still in the heart of the earth at this time. And he said to those Old Testament saints, "It is finished." And then I'm glad he could look through the telescope of time to sinners of every generation and every race and nation. And he could say to the sinners, "It's finished. I've done everything that I need to do so I can die and be your sacrifice, your substitute, and pay the price of your sins. And you can be saved by the grace of God." But not only did I believe he said it to the sovereign God and to the saints and to the sinners, but I believe number four, he looked at Satan and reminded him again by saying to him, "It is finished." Satan, you have reigned for 4,000 years with fear and death. But I want to tell you something, Satan. I'm fixing to bruise your head, as was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3. Well, our time is gone again. Father, take the message, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Ballou speaking. Let me invite you to make your plans to join us for a week of camp meeting, Thanksgiving week. That's beginning on November the 21st and going through November the 26th at the Faith Baptist Camp located in Resaca, Georgia. Brother Sammy Allen's a moderator. We'll have a great week of preaching and singing and fellowship, and I hope you can come and be with us. We're located about 65 miles north of Atlanta and about 45 miles south of Chattanooga, just off Interstate 75. I hope you'll make your plans and be with us. We'll have a great week together. Then remember, I need to hear from you. Pray for us, and then write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure and join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Oh, do not wait. It's growing.